Transform your life today. Welcome to Super Coach with Michael Neal.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Our topic for today is the power of hope, and the numbers to call to get coaching on having what you want and thriving in every area of your life are 866-254-1579, toll free in the United States and Canada, 866-254-1579, or from outside the United States, you can reach the show by dialing your country code, followed by 001-760-918-4300. And today is going to be the first of a sort of a new structure to the shows, in the sense that we are going to be coming to you commercial free for the hour, which means that, you know, just time your pee breaks appropriately. That's what I'm learning to do, kids. That's what you need to do, too. So before we go to the phones, I want to start, as I always do, by setting the table a little bit. One way I'm going to set the table is by inviting you to come join me with another Hay House author, Ali Campbell, in Los Angeles, or live streaming from Los Angeles in July. So July 18th and 19th, we're going to be doing a couple of events, one called Diving In, How to Get Started and Get Going on Absolutely Anything. And another one, which I'm going to be honest here, it's called, now, do I remember what it's called? It's called Shooting the Rapids, How to Thrive in an Increasingly Fast-Paced World. The reason I hesitated about what it was called is because what it's about is how when we slow down and have less going on in our minds, we do a lot better in the world. You can find out more about both of those events by going to supercoach.com/thrive. And if you haven't listened to Ali before, he is an absolute delight to listen to. So that's coming up. But what about hope? Well, for me, I used to have a very funny relationship with hope. I used to be of the school that thought hope was a bad thing. So like, you know, I remember there was a book a few years back called Hope is Not a Strategy. And I was like, yeah. Now, that's true, by the way. Hope is not a strategy, but it turns out to be probably the most important thing that kind of unleashes us to pursue whatever strategies we decide to employ in the pursuit of whatever it is we want to create. And for me, I got my sort of first real lesson in the power of hope from the Lord of the Rings trilogy. Now, not the movies so much, but in the books. And if you've never read the books, if you like reading, oh my goodness, boy, you know, I don't think I'm going to be the first person on earth or that anyone will think it's particularly insightful for me to say, boy, J.R.R. Tolkien was a great writer, but man, they're amazing books. And one of the things that I love about them is magic in the books. The white wizards, the dark wizards, the magic that they do is all about hope and despair. Black magic is despair. They spread despair. They take away hope. They make it seem pointless and hopeless. And people lose their will. They lose their strength and they give up. And cobwebs start growing on them and bugs start crawling on them and things get pretty bleak. And what the white wizard spread is hope. They put thoughts of possibility into people's heads. And the minute people see even a crack of possibility, they come to life. More starts coming through them. New ideas start coming through to them. And the world just seems like a different place in the light of hope than it does in the darkness of despair, in the bleakness of hopelessness. And that, that's sort of the first way I want to talk about the power of hope, is what it does for us. That when we view the world through the eyes of hope, through the light of hope, through the possibility that hope engenders, we start finding ways to make things happen. You know, I wrote a chapter in You Can Have What You Want called Where There's a Way, There's a Will. Because that's what I see. Is when people have hope, when they start to see that there might be a way forward, all of a sudden, they start to find the will to pursue that way. They start to go exploring. The minute that there's even a crack in your certainty that things aren't going to work out for you, all sorts of new possibilities and opportunities start to come in. And that's why one of the most powerful things you can offer to someone else is hope. Because when they start to have hope that they can get better, that something they want to create is possible, that something that they want to overcome, that it's possible to overcome, they start to get more creative. They start to naturally behave in all the ways that the self-help books tell them they ought to behave. Simply because that natural resilience that we all have inside us gets released by hoping. So, numbers to call, 866-254-1579, toll-free in the United States and Canada. Outside the U.S., you can reach the show by dialing your country code, usually 001-760-918-4300. And we're going to begin in North Carolina, speaking with Janet. Janet, welcome to the show. What are we going to talk about today?
Hello, Michael. Well, I'm unemployed. I'm 38 years old, and I just moved back with my parents.
Okay.
So this has gotten, I don't know if triggers is the right word, about regrets from my past. I did a lot of mistakes, and I'm not, I need some hope.
Okay, I got you. I hear that.
I need some hope. I mean, my life's not terrible. I live with my parents, but I just wish I would have made different choices in my past. Hold on, I'm sorry.
Yeah. So now I wish I was taller, but I'm guessing that it's not quite the same thing. Because like my wishing I was taller isn't making me really, really unhappy about the height that I am. And it sounds like your wishing that you'd done some different things in the past is making you pretty unhappy about where you are. Would that be fair?
Yes.
Okay. So Here's a starting point. So Janet, I'm going to assume now there are people already who are going, oh my God, why is he making jokes? She's crying. Doesn't he see it's a big deal to her? I'm
good
with it. It makes for great radio. We all love it. But I want to. But also, I just want to check that you're okay with my poking around.
Yes.
Okay. Because you know it. I understand. I'm not making light of what you're feeling, but what I will point to is that when you see a little more clearly where that's coming from and what that's getting in the way of,
yes,
it might not seem like quite such a good idea. Yeah, would that be okay?
Yes.
Okay.
That'd be fine.
All right. Great.
I've tried. I mean, it's been years now I was actually betrayed by a friend, and I had to file for bankruptcy, and it was just a mess, and I blame myself so much and for trusting someone who should have never been trusted. So I have a lot of issues that I've been on this healing journey for so long now, but now that I find myself, I'm not where I want to be, and I always go back to, if that didn't happen, I know I would, I would be in much better place, but in a nutshell.
So let me ask, because there's two different places we can go. Okay. We can go into the past and we can figure out how big a mistake you're allowed to make and how much penance you have to do for it. So like there's probably some scale you've got in your head, like this size mistake I need to hang on to for 8 years. This size mistake I can let go after 6 months. This size mistake I can let go by the end of the day. This size mistake I have to hang on to for 2 lifetimes. So like there's that conversation and I'm very happy to have it. And then there's another conversation about what it is you'd like to create and what it seems like is stopping you. Now we can actually even have both, but where would you like to go first?
Can you pick one?
Sure. Let's just take a little look at how long it looks important to you to punish yourself for, I'm going to just take your word for it, that it was an error in judgment as opposed to something that nobody would have seen coming. Maybe it was, but for a mistake that you made in the past. Like, what seems like it should be the statute of limitations?
Logically?
Sure. Yeah, let's start with logic. I already get emotionally longer than now. right? That's clear. But like, logically, what...
It should have been gone by now. I shouldn't be holding on to it.
Okay. And I want to check that that's true for you, that it really does look to you like there's no value in hanging on to that. Whether or not you can let go is a different question, but that you don't think at some level that it's a good idea for you to hang on to it. And reasons people do that sometimes is they think, oh, you know, if I hang on to this, then I'm less likely to do it again. Or, oh, if I hang on to this, then that will somehow make up for what I did, or, you know, do people have different reasons for hanging on to, you know, their thoughts about the past? So for you, I'm just kind of doing a check. Does it genuinely seem to you like, no, man, if you could wave the magic wand, just wave it? Or does it seem like, well, I wish it didn't hurt so much, but there's something about it that still seems really important to hang on to?
Wow. Yeah, a little bit of both, I think, because it's been so long. I'm so
sure
it's such a part of my life now. You know, I was looking back, and I had a significant amount of weight gain since that happened. And it's just, I have not been able to be the same since that happened to me. So that's
well, but now, like, let me check, because like I had a wart for about 4 or 5 years when I was a teenager. And it was, I was obsessed with it for a little while, and it was a little weird when it went, because I was so used to having it, but there was no sense of, oh man, I miss my wart. Right. So when you say, well, it's been such a part of your life, I get that, but has it been a part of your life like a wart, which is just this thing that kind of shows up, or has it been a part of your life like in some way it still seems to you like maybe I'd better hang on to this because?
No, definitely like a wart.
Okay,
I mean,
cool.
I know I have so much potential. I know I can be better than I am now. And that's what bothers me, is that I keep on getting sad and I cry in the shower. And it's just like this never ending, like it'll go away for a while. I'll do wonderful, and then I'll just get a trigger. Or, you know, whatever it is, and then I'll go backwards.
I don't know. So it seems to me like this is, I'm about to get unduly, like, personal, but it seems to me crying in the shower and peeing in the shower are both, like, fine. Like, that's what the shower does. Like, showers are great at getting rid of liquid. So I don't think that personally is a problem, but putting that to one side, let's look at the flip then. Let's take a look at what is it that you'd love to create in your life that it feels like you're not able to move forward on or to create?
Gosh, I'm just so stuck financially. I definitely want to get better. I want to be on the right track. I want to be able to look back and say, you know, I can hold on my own, because right now I can't.
Mm-hmm. So would... This is going to sound stupid. Or it sounds
no,
stupid.
I think
in
you're
my,
great.
It sounds stupid in my head before I say it. Now, would being happy and content be okay as a starting point?
Yeah. I mean, I have been happy and content, but then I fall back, and then I can't get off that. I'll have like a really bad dream about that person, and then forget it. The next day and 5 days after that, I just can't get back on. It's just
okay. So what do you think dreams are made of?
Your subconscious?
Well, that's one of the theories about where the imagery in your dreams comes from, like the specific imagery. But like, what's the substance of a dream? What's the fabric of a dream?
I don't know.
Well, what do you think?
I think it's you are trying to tell yourself something, or the spirit is trying to tell you something.
No, I mean, there's a lot of theories about it, right? And I don't know. I don't have a. I'm not asking that question and then I'm going to spring the right answer on you. And ha ha ha, I knew all along. But it seems to me that our dreams are made of this invisible stuff called thought. Right? That's the fabric out of which dreams are made. Right? That's how we know we're dreaming, is via thought. Like, you know, it's like the dream is brought to us. You know, it's like PBS shows now because they can't have ads, but they need the money. Go, you know, Sesame Street, brought to you from the makers of cookies, you know, or whatever. It's like, you know, dreams brought to you by thought. Now, does that make sense so far?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing that sometimes is a little harder to see. Our daytime dreams are brought to us by thought too. In fact, our experience of life moment by moment is brought to us by thought. Like, that's just the mechanism through which we have an experience of life. So it, you know, we have, for most of us, slightly less realistic seeming thoughts at night than we do in the day, though sometimes they can seem pretty real. But essentially, we're thinking 24/7.
Right.
And the way that human beings are set up is we live in the feeling of that thinking. We live in an experience of that thinking as if it's an experience of the world, as if it's real, as if it's what's really happening, and it really seems important, and it really seems like it matters, and we feel it to the point where we cry in the shower.
Right.
Now, what's interesting, or what I find really interesting, as somebody who used to be a suicidal depressive, is that underneath all that thinking, there's a level of health, of strength, of resilience, of hope, of potential that is completely untouched by whatever thoughts come through our minds, no matter how long they hang out there. It's like if you think of the mind like a Teflon coated pan. So it doesn't matter what gets cooked in it, and it doesn't matter like how long you've left it. Like if you made I don't know, I'm trying to think what the last thing I left baked on was, but you know, I definitely have done some like macaroni cheese for the kids where I forgot to kind of empty it and it was sort of caked on.
Mm-hmm.
But then you stick it in hot water and it comes off and it's as good as new. See, that's us. That's our mind. We have an innate health that's untouched by what we've done, what we've been through, and what we think. And that part of you is still there right now. And I'm going to guess there are moments where you feel it because it's...
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay. So that's you. That's Janet. And all that crap that Janet's been through and all that stuff that gets baked onto her pan, that doesn't impact the capacity of the pan in any way, shape, or form.
That's amazing. What a great... way to say it. My goodness.
And so all I would say to you for now is, because it sounds to me like you're hearing something, and what you're hearing and feeling is more important than what I'm saying.
No, that's not true. You're saying amazing. I like what you're saying.
All right. We're okay. Okay, Janet, we're both great. Okay. I'm not trying to win like that. I just mean that the fact that you can see that, that's your wisdom. That's yours. That's in you. And that capacity to see that, to know that, to recognize that is what's going to see you through going forward and what's going to let you create an amazing life. And it might take some time.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Thank you.
So can, just before I let you go, can you tell me just a little bit about what you're seeing and feeling in this moment?
I feel that what you're saying is that all the other stuff that has happened to me, isn't who I am. It's just, I could take it off. I could scrape it off. I just have to want to scrape it off. I have to want to get back to me again. Without that stuff, isn't me. It's not part of me. That's what I get from it.
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
That's beautiful.
I feel like it's like a barnacle stuck on me, you know. But you're saying it's not part of me. It hurts so much, and it's really delayed my way of everything. You know, I feel like you know what I mean.
I do. And thank you I often find people can just, when they express it, they can express it in ways that I think, man, I wish I'd said that. So that's brilliant. Well, thank you for phoning in, Janet. And please feel free to check back in with us anytime.
Thank you so much. I really thank you so much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Now, if you're listening to that, could you hear how by the end of that, Janet had a lot more hope for the future? Now, I didn't give her that hope. It's not false hope. It's not a trick. You tricked her into having hope. It's actually just seeing the truth of life at a deeper level. And there's this thing that I call the kindness of the design, which is that the more I see about the truth of how life works, the more amazing it is to me how it seems to be set up for us to have a wonderful life and a wonderful experience of being alive. And that's where the hope comes from, is seeing the game is rigged in our favor. We're made of possibility. And it's only when we forget that, when we become blinded to that, where we don't recognize that, that things seem hopeless. And as soon as we see it, no matter how long we felt hopeless for, that natural health and energy and vitality starts to come back up to the surface. And with it, a creativity and an increased sense of the true possibility, of the infinite creative possibility of life. Let's go out to Lynbrook, New York, and let's speak with George. George, welcome to the show. What are we going to talk about today?
Hi, Michael. I'm just, I could use some hope. I have good days, bad days. I have a beautiful family, the best wife ever. I started out a new business venture last year. It's not going the way I thought it was going to go. And now with all the bills piled up, I'm almost at like wit's end. And I keep thinking to myself, I feel like I love to swim, but I feel like I'm drowning and I don't know how to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife is a rock star in my life, and she is always so positive and always, you know, always speaks of we're always taken care of and there's nothing to worry about. And I just have such fears and sense of failure that I, you know, I'm having a hard time even wanting to go home and face my kids. And I'm just trying to figure out how to turn my thought process around. I'll fight with it, try to do the affirmations every day and try to think in the positive manners and trying to do all the little things, but gosh, I just don't seem to be getting anywhere.
So first off, I'm, you know, that sounds like it sucks and I'm sorry you're going through it. I mean, I mean that. It's like I have felt that way. And it doesn't feel nice. Now, there's a phrase you used, I haven't heard for a while, but I really like it in this, especially in the context of this conversation, is you said, you know, I feel like I'm at my wit's end. And I think that's a really accurate statement. And I think that's a really good thing. Because when we try to use our own wits to take on life, to take on challenges, there's a real limit to what we can do.
Okay.
Like our little mind, our wits, you know, got to keep my wits about me. You know, they're useful, right? They're incredibly useful, but they're like retro rockets. You know, they're useful for doing a little bit of minor steering, but you wouldn't want to try and go into space on them.
Okay, that makes sense.
So when you've had your most creative ideas, where did it seem to you like those came from?
To be honest, I don't even remember myself, you know, having the most creative ideas. It's usually if I hear somebody else say it and then piggyback something on top of it.
Well, let me ask it a different way then. Because first off, I mean, we're going to put to one side that I don't believe you. Like, I mean, I believe you can't think of one right now, but it's like, I don't believe you've gotten this far in life without having a creative idea. So, but let's just go with that because, you know, we're on the radio and we don't have forever. So that part of you that recognizes, oh man, I could do this with that. Where does it seem to you like, does that seem to you like your wits or does that seem to you like something else?
To me, it seems like something else. I mean, I honestly, like when it comes to my business thing, I guess I've got like an old fashioned sort of thought process to it that's not really matching up with the company and the industry. And it's something that the way I thought about it was, you know, the personal service, the personal touch, and that's what people really are missing out on. That's why there are some stores that can charge a little bit more because they have all that excellent service. But I don't know, it's trying to like, I guess, get that mindset out to people is that that's what you're missing.
So you're answering some really different questions to the one I'm asking.
Okay.
Cause what you're telling me is about the strategy that you thought would work that doesn't seem to be working as well as you thought it would work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now I can't tell you. I mean, look, it makes sense. Sounds like a good strategy, but that's not where you're stuck from what I'm hearing. You know, it's not like I'm talking to George, who is like in full creative potential mode and seeing all sorts of possibilities and opportunities and just can't seem to get traction. That would be one conversation. That would be a conversation where it might make sense for us to look at strategies.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, what I'm talking to is George, who kind of just doesn't see like there's any way forward and is kind of feeling like a loser for not seeing a way forward and for taking things this far and not pulling it off. And right. Does that sound more like the guy I'm talking to?
Yeah, that's the winner chicken dinner.
Yeah. So now here's the good news is that's not you. That's a pile of thinking that you've been sitting in for so long that it feels like you.
Yeah.
You know, you, my daughter has retweeted me once. So you can, you know, quick commercial. You can follow me on Twitter, Michael_Neil. So my daughter was at a seminar that I was giving. And she said, Dad, I tweeted you. And I was like, oh, wow, what did you tweet? And she said, well, you know that moment where you said, You are the infinite creative potential of the entire fucking universe. Deal with it. Should I tweet at that? And I was like, oh, great. But that's what I want to say to you, George. That's who you are. You are the infinite creative potential of the entire universe. And you're acting like a guy who's kind of stuck in his business.
Okay.
Now, I can tell by the passion with which you just said okay that maybe that hasn't entirely gotten through to you at the level of a real experience. So can we take it a little further?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. So we'll get off George and Michael and we'll get on to human beings. Okay. So here's in a nutshell how it seems to me that life works. There's a universal mind and a divine creative potential, a formless energy and intelligence out of which life is created. And there's this creative power that we call thought that brings all this formless energy, it brings it into form in all these different ways. And then there's this gift of consciousness that we each have that allows us to experience life. It allows us to have whatever experience we have in technicolor and through all five senses. So we can see it and taste it and touch it and smell it and hear it. And it's like, it's so real. Now, one of the first thoughts that comes into being is the thought of us as a separate self. So the George thought and the Michael thought. And then over time, the George thought starts to accumulate a bunch of other thoughts to it. Like, I am George and I am a good businessman or a bad businessman. I am shy or I am outgoing. I am lucky or I am unlucky. I am a good person or I am a bad person. And we start to accumulate, and Michael does that too, and so does Janet, and so does Fred, and so does Cindy. And we start to really feel like that accumulation of ideas is the sum total of who we are. You with me so far?
Yeah. Okay.
Now, because of that, and because we're surrounded by other thought clusters that think they're real, who agree with us that that is George and that is Lucy and that is Michael, we're able to kind of live in that illusion for a long time. And sometimes people go through their entire lives really thinking that that's it. That's who they are. And fortunately, for most of us, at some point, we get a wake-up call. And sometimes it's a nice one. We just get graced by an insight. But often, it's circumstances get pretty shitty. And we suddenly see that the cluster of thoughts that we've been living as if it's us isn't enough anymore. And in Alcoholics Anonymous and the 12-step programs, you know, they talk about that in terms of recognizing that, you know, that I, that little me, can't do it on his own. And so they look in the direction of a higher power as recognized by them. And they start to see that what is impossible to the little self is not only possible to the infinite self, to the infinite creative potential of mind, but is natural. Now, it sounds to me, and I'm going to stop rambling in a minute and just check in with you to see what you're hearing, but it sounds to me like you're at a point where you can give up and feel like a failure. You can push through and try and tough it out, and you'll make it or you won't, but you'll get pretty worn down in the process. Or you can turn away from that habitual thinking about who George is and what George can do, and look to find a deeper truth about who George really is, who you really are, and what's possible beyond that cluster of thoughts. Now, I need to check in, and I need to see if it sounds to you, if you're hearing this and it's resonating, or if it just sounds like New Age twaddle.
No, it actually, it's very close to home, particularly when you talk about the group of thoughts, and then it gets to a point where the thoughts aren't enough, and then, I don't want to say, the reality starts to kick in, and it gets harder and harder, and then thoughts get thinner and thinner, and then, like you're saying, you're at a point of, do you want to say you're a failure? Do you want to just keep fighting and just be tired and fight and fight? Or do you want to, like you're saying, turn your direction to the positive and follow your path?
Yeah. So what's it to be?
I guess I'm going to turn my direction to the positive and follow the path.
Sounds like a great plan, George.
That's what I want to do. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. You know, it's funny because so often... You know, and by the way, Jenna, you are next in the queue. And if you want to get in before the end of the show, numbers to call 866-254-1579, toll free in the United States and Canada. Outside the U.S., 001-760-918-4300. I was talking to somebody earlier. Let's see if this makes sense out of context. I'll try and contextualize it. And their question was, how do I make a certain amount of money in a certain amount of time? Now, that seemed like a pretty straightforward question to them. Like, well, okay, this is what I want. And the reason that it wasn't a straightforward question is because they thought that money, the way they thought about money, was what money really is. And so it was like, given money, which has all these attributes, many of which are very difficult and important and sticky and confusing, what's my best strategy for going out and getting more of it? And what they didn't see was that money, as they conceived it, was a conception. It was made of thought. It wasn't something you could put in a wheelbarrow that you had to reckon with. It was just a way of thinking about stuff that didn't particularly work for them. And so if you've got something going on for you where you're making something up in a way that makes it look really difficult, and then you're asking for strategies to make it easier to handle the thing that you've made up in a way that looks difficult, well, the only strategy that makes any sense is to go back and make it up different. Or at the very least, open yourself up into the unknown so that something different can get made up instead. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go out to San Diego. And as promised, let's talk to Jenna. Hey, Jenna, welcome to the show. Thank you for holding. What are we going to talk about today?
Well, thank you, Michael, for asking my question right before you took my call. the question I have is regarding just how to handle new opportunities that come our way that we've obviously asked for without becoming, overwhelmed. And that's sort of the place that I'm at now.
Okay. So the first question that occurs to me, and it may or may not be the most relevant one, but what is overwhelm? Tell me about overwhelm.
I think my where I notice that my biggest challenge is just being able to focus. I feel as though I've asked for these opportunities that are all coming, and I say yes. And I begin, moving forward, and I'll start working on one particular task. And for me, I feel distracted from time to time with thoughts coming in saying, oh, you forgot to do this, or you should do that. And it just feels to me like my plate is a little too full. And so I understand tactically what I need to do, but I still have, I feel like I've formed a habit of distraction and this feeling of overwhelmed and sort of scatty mind stuff that's happening. And I know that that the quality that I put out is in relation to the amount of energy that I put in and the amount of focus that I put in. And I just want to be really focused and at peace while I'm doing what I'm doing. And so that's, you know, probably where I'm working right now and where my question is.
So if I wanted to get you, if I was your manager and I wanted to get you to slow down, would my best bet be to get you confused and scatty?
Like, no.
would we, I guess what I'm asking is, you know, are you any good at managing your own energy and time, or will you just keep taking on more until you burst?
I feel like I'm taking on more until I burst.
Right. So that was my guess too. And so what occurred to me, and the reason I asked the question that I asked, is it occurs to me that this thing that you don't like, this scatty thing, may well be your own wisdom forcing you to take a break from thinking so hard about stuff.
Right.
And so trying to overcome that as a problem would be like a vacuum cleaner trying to override the engine overheating switch off thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a technical term us in the vacuum cleaner industry use. but, you know, there's this thing that when the engine gets too hot, it switches off until it's cooled down. Well, like we all have versions of that. And at extremes, that becomes addictions. But at lighter levels, it often shows up in things like what you're describing. Like, you know, we just kind of suddenly have this overwhelming urge to watch 7 hours of television that we're not even that interested in, you know, or we suddenly just lose the ability to have a conversation. And it's just our own release valve within the system. Now, that doesn't mean you're stuck with it. It just means that when you start to see it for what it is, it allows the system to recalibrate in a way that it doesn't need to get to that point as often. Does that make sense?
Completely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So if that's, let's just play with the idea that that's right for now, that is what's going on. If you knew that's what was going on, what occurs to you about the way you're approaching things? Like what might be another way that you could approach all the opportunities that you've got?
The first thing that came to mind for me is a question, and that is, what can I let go of? I can't do everything. So what no longer serves me would be the first thing I'd want to look at.
Cool.
And then be okay with letting it go. Or
not be okay with letting it go, but let it go anyways.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I like that. That sounds like a great thing. What else?
Honor the release valve.
Mm-hmm.
Take some breaks and, you know, refocus, take a breath, come back to my heart, like you mentioned with the first caller, like get through that macaroni and cheese and back to who I am.
Yeah.
And you know, adjust and then, you know, re-enter back into my work and my life.
Yeah, it's like, you know, sometimes people say to me, you know, will ask me, well, look, what, you know, I'm tired all the time. What can I do about that? And the first thing that always occurs to me to say is, well, rest more.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's just kind of seems like common sense to me. No, you know, and so I love that, Jenna. I mean, it sounds to me actually like you're seeing it really clearly.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And the beautiful thing is, just that little bit of clarity will just let the system run even more smoothly going forward. Because we all do really well when we don't have too much thinking about stuff. You know, it's just a function of the human mind. It works really well when it's settled down, when it isn't all riled up. Mm-hmm. And sometimes riled up feels like excitement, right? Sometimes riled up feels like, oh, I got so many opportunities. This is fantastic. Oh my God, this is great. That is every bit as overstuffed as, oh God, this is so awful. I don't know how I'm going to deal with it. And in fact, it often flips to that quite quickly. And when you start to see, wow, yeah, gosh, people do really well when they're settled down, when their thinking isn't all riled up. Hey, I bet that's true of me too. Well, it gets easier to sort of cultivate that, to allow for that. And then you get to do really well.
When I see people that I look up to and I want to aspire to their levels of success, that's one thing that I always notice. There's an air about them that is calm and in control and very present. And I often wonder, you know, why I'm running around like a chicken with my head cut off, so to speak. And they're just so calm and relaxed. And so I know that that is an edge for me that I want to aspire to. I don't have to do everything. And perhaps for me today, like three things done really well is better than seven done half-assed is should be my mantra today.
That sounds like an awful lot of wisdom.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Jenna. That was great. You know, that's how it works, right? We all have that common sense inside us. We all have that wisdom, and it's just, it gets obscured. It gets obscured by a misunderstanding of where our experience comes from. It gets obscured by a lack of recognition of our infinite creative potential and who we really are at core beyond, you know, our thought cluster. And it gets lost in the swirl of our own thinking. Let's see if we can sneak one more in our new format show. And let's go out to Houston and let's speak with Heather. Heather, welcome to the show. What are we going to talk about today?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I've been struggling with a situation in my family, which I'm sure is probably pretty common these days, when there's a loved one who is addicted to drugs. And we're trying to help them, but not enable them at the same time to get help. So it's a sister who's not living with me, so I don't have this, you know, as a day-to-day problem like a spouse. But, you know, since 2006, everyone in the family knows she's been battling with prescription drugs. And, you know, we've kind of just let her... You know, I guess the whole kind of concept is to let them bottom out, which we've all been trying to do, but it's really hard to do. And she was homeless for a while, for a couple of years, after we tried to help her. We paid for an apartment for her for 6 months and to give her a chance to kind of get on her feet after my mom passed away. And then she ends up getting in a car wreck, lost her job, then lost her apartment. So she was on the street. In the last 3 years, though, she had secured a job as an assistant manager of a retail store and had gotten an apartment by herself. So she had kind of clawed her way back to some semblance of normal life until recently when she lost her job and called on me. And she kind of committed to me that she would go through detox and would commit, because I told her, look, I'm not going to help you unless you want to help yourself. I will support you in your efforts to help yourself. So she kind of, you know, she committed that to me, and we went about the process of meeting with the correct people. But then just this week, I found out that that was, you know, a facade, and she was really just, you know, not fully committed to a detox program and getting help.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I kind of fell into, you know, I care about my sister a lot and I want to help her. So I fell into the trap of, I didn't really, you know, extend myself a lot, but I helped her get unemployment benefits and food stamps so she could keep her apartment and keep some semblance of life while she was getting help. But then she started, you know, presenting herself just completely obliterated. I found out now recently what she's been taking. So she's back on the pills, and we're back to square one again. So, you know, it's been something that's been going on for years and years. And there's probably people in the audience that have family members like this. And, you know, you don't want to enable them, but you don't want them to perish. So you try to give them just enough help when they're willing to get help. But
I'm going to ask you a weird question.
Sure. Okay.
You an Astros fan?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yep.
Okay. So you know how like, you really root for them?
Uh-huh.
But it probably doesn't occur to you to get overly involved in the day-to-day running of the team.
Right.
And you know how any good sports fan can really see what the team needs to do, even though the team's probably never going to do it.
Right.
Right. It's more like that than you think.
Yeah.
Right. Now, we have built into us, and this is true of your sister, and this is true of you, we have a built-in wisdom that will guide us as we listen to it. And we can tap into it in a heartbeat. We can have not been listening to it for our whole lives. Uh-huh. And we can hear it, and we can start to follow it immediately.
Right.
Now, for your sister, it's just good to know that no matter how bad it looks for her right now, that she's got that inside her.
Mm-hmm.
And for you to recognize that you have that inside you too, and that it will guide you, not the idea of what one should do with someone who is dealing with addiction, but it will guide you in your behavior about how involved to get, about what ways to get involved, about how deeply to get involved in the process. And you'll start to get a feel for, if you don't already, when you're stopping short of what you actually know to do, and when you're pushing past the edge of what you know to do.
Okay.
Now, there's a book that I would really recommend.
Okay.
It's one of my favorite books on the impact of the principles that I talk about on this show and the Inside Out Understanding on addiction. It's called The Serenity Principle. By Joseph Bailey. And you might really like that. I don't know if your sister's kind of open to stuff like that, but you might really like that. There's another book by Jack Pransky called Somebody Should Have Told Us that talks about it in a way that, in my experience, people dealing with addiction sometimes can really hear.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, have you read Inside Out Revolution?
No, I haven't.
Okay, well, tell you what, stay on the line. And Joe or Steve will get your details, and we'll send you out a copy of that as well.
Okay. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you so much for phoning in.
Thank you.
All right.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
You know, it's kind of a nice one to finish on, because kind of to me, that recognition that we all have that wisdom inside us, that's what's so hopeful to me. The recognition that no matter how long we've been away from it, it's still right there waiting for us. You know, it's like the prodigal son in the Bible. It's like, it doesn't matter how long you've been away. It doesn't matter what you've done when you've been away. You're going to be welcomed home. And when you get back to that place inside yourself, which you're only ever one thought away from, it's like you never left. And from that place, we all do really well. We all do the best we can. Now, we're doing the best we can anyways, but our best gets better when we're coming from that place inside ourselves. So I hope you've enjoyed the show, our first new format, no commercial show. You can follow the stuff I'm up to online at supercoach.com. Follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/mneil, on Twitter at michael_neil. And until next time, have fun, learn heaps, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye for now.